What's up, guys? I am Caleb Giddings.
And I'm Keith Finch.
And you are watching another episode of Gun Day Brunch brought to you by Taurus USA and guns.com. Taurus USA, we make some. Guns.com, they sell some. And also write fun content about them and all sorts of fun things. They're great people. You should go check out their website.
You really should. And then get sucked into the inevitable hole, especially their used gun section, where you will
Oh,
spend
bro.
money.
Let's talk about like
Not
me
that I
going
know
on.
this from personal experience or anything.
So, we're obviously, at Taurus USA, we're partners with guns.com, GunBroker, Gearfire, a bunch of the like retail websites. And I'm like, can I just get like a line of credit like they do in the casinos and then get ad credits back for that, like something? Because I'm on there and I'm like, ooh, add to
I need a
cart.
rewards
Ooh.
point. Like I need the point system. Like, oh, you're back for your seventh visit this month.
Bro, if with the way I've been buying optics and 308 ammo, if Midway USA had a reward system, I'd be triple platinum. I have no idea if Keith just so if you're watching this and Keith just froze up, I think he might be dead. Rifle optics. Why are we the way that we are? And why don't you tell the people exactly the way that we are? Because it's terrible. It's
It
super,
is. It's
super the
awful. It's
worst.
no good. It's very bad. You see, Caleb and I and many of our friends suffer what is commonly known throughout the industry by the medical term of RAD, or rifle optic ADD. It is
Huh. Yeah,
RAD.
no, that makes sense.
Yep. We suffer from RAD, in which case we will spend the very detailed amount of time that it takes to mount a rifle optic to a rifle, get it properly torqued, go zero it, get it ready to go for whatever purpose we need it for, and we are happy and joyful and everything. But the moment it's done, we have this little gremlin that crawls into our ear, into our brain, and goes, "Hey, but what if?" And then we have to do it all over again. And if you, like I, have many rifles, it's a problem.
Well, my problem is that hey, what if gremlin is it's not so much that, it's that there's very few rifle optic combos where I shoot it and I go, I am 100% happy with everything on how that gun is set up. I have three right
I
now in
am
my house.
usually content with how I have things until I get introduced to a new item, until there is a new contender in play. Like, for example, the SIG Spear SBR I got came with a dot, right? It came with a dot on it. I had fully intended to put the SIG 1-6 I had on it, the military optic, the SVPS. I fully intended to put that one on it when it got here. I didn't know it was coming with a dot, and then it did come with a dot. And so all of a sudden, my plans were thrown into chaos, where I was just going to be like, all right, well, I'll put the SIG 1-6 on it, and we'll shoot it that way, and everything go. Now, the SIG ended up as I intended, but the dot coming on it, because it was a Romeo 4T Pro, the XT Pro, their version of the Comp M5, the aimpoint Comp M5, AAA powered, very cool. That came, and I'm like, ooh, now I can do things with this. So that threw about five other rifles into chaos as I started moving dots around and changing mounts and
Like,
everything
I
like
should
that.
put
So
this.
where I
I
thought
should.
I was just getting rifle, add scope, live good life, instead, rifle came with dot, and dot gave Keith ideas, and therefore Keith changed like six guns.
So, my personal saga was similar. So, I had shot, so I had a Leupold 3x12, I think, on my Taurus Expedition bolt rifle. And then Primary Arms sent me their really honestly impressively, oh, that's the Leupold. Oh yeah, because the Primary Arms is on a different rifle. So then Primary Arms sent me their really, really nice 3x18 with like their Athena mil reticle, and
Those
it's
primary arms, nobody should sleep on the primary arm scopes,
yeah.
right? You
So
really shouldn't. It should be
my
in
whole
a consideration.
experience my whole experience is with Primary Arms lately. And if Primary Arms, you want to sponsor the podcast, hit a brother up. But in all seriousness,
Ken, can you hear us, Ken?
yeah, exactly. So I've had nothing but great experiences with Primary Arms products in the last couple of years. Their micro red dot, that's the RMSC footprint. I've got them on Toro revolvers. I've got friggin'
I was
some.
worried about that. I'm really glad that that dot is doing well. I don't have any
Yeah.
specific reason that I was worried about it, but I just got that like, oh no vibe. Kind of like anytime I see Vortex launch a red dot, I'm like,
Right. Even though
if
vortex dots are pretty much all fine now, like
now,
we're
but for many years, it was just like, oh, they're trying again.
yeah, you're like, oh dear. But now, yeah, now good to
But
go.
yeah,
So
but like
the
since the Soul AR, I haven't had any issues, but.
so they send me the 3x18 and I put it on my Expedition and I zero it and I'm just not happy with it. Like one of the things that I struggle with on magnified optics, and I have my entire life, is scope shadow, is getting and like getting behind the gun in the perfect consistent position so that I have no scope shadow is difficult for me. It always has been and it always will be. And I mean, I'm sure that I could devote a bunch of time and energy to like figuring out how to completely eliminate that as a thing when I'm mounting the gun,
It
but I
takes a
don't.
minute, and it's especially sensitive if you're using other people's guns, because those guns, those magnified optics, and the more power you put on them, the more sensitive they are. They're set up for their eyes and body shape, right?
Yeah.
And especially when it comes to high power optics, you've got to set your ocular focus. You have to set, if it's got parallax, you have to make sure you set that parallax. And then you have to set eye relief based on your body type, which is all this space right here, which happens to be different for everybody.
Yeah, so regardless of that, so I get it zeroed and I'm just like a little bit not happy with it. And this is not a knock on the optic. This is my interface with it, a little bit not happy with it. And I'm like, all right, what if? And then I had this idea that I was like, okay, well, I'm going to put my. So first, when I took that optic off, what I did, I took three guns to the range. So I took that optic on my Expedition. I took my Rossi R95 with the Aimpoint 9000L on it, which is basically Comp M4 but long.
Yep.
And I took a Rossi RS22 Magnum with a friggin' Hollow Sun 507C, whichever one the RMR footprint is, right? So I zeroed all of those. Super happy with the Rossi R95. Loved everything about that setup. That is one of the guns that I am now like, it's okay, right? Then, now mind you, that was re-zeroing because previously I'd had an acro on that gun. So the acro is going to come into play because then I was looking at this acro and I'm like, this is a 3.5 MOA dot. And I put it on the Expedition because I'm really struggling with staying in the dot and all of that. And I'm like, okay, now I have a wide field of view. I did some ballistic math and figured out a bunch of stuff. But then I was like, okay, well, now I have this Leupold scope. And I have this Primary Arms scope, and I don't know where to put those. And then I was like figuring out other red dots, and I took a Hollow Sun dot, and I took a Vortex Spark AR dot off my 40 Smith and Wesson carbine and put a Hollow Sun dot on that. And then I took a different dot off one of my 9mm ARs and put a different thing on that. So now I currently have, out of all of the long guns in my closet, I have my home defense SBR, which is still zeroed. I have my Expedition, which is now zeroed with a 308 with an acro on it because I'm a lunatic. And I have my R95, which is zeroed with
Look,
a
I think
Comp M4 but
go to
long.
your expedition for a second there. I think we undersell the utility of dot on bolt gun because to be fair, we have a lot of very good glass this day. Like it's a wonderful, wonderful time to be in scopes, because you're getting a lot of features and you can get a lot of features in glass for a pretty affordable price that we couldn't when you and I got into shooting back in the day. Like you had 3x9, you would like it with its duplex reticle, or
Yeah,
I
that
don't
was it. You were
know,
done.
pocket. So We're living in a great time for scopes, but I think we undervalue the concept of a red dot on a bolt gun, even in something that can reach out and touch something like 308, just because it is so light and handy.
Mm-hmm.
But back on the topic of the ADD.
Well, the whole gun. Well, yeah. And so now I managed to get. So I now have a whole bunch of rifles that I need to zero. And because I'm a lunatic, I put the primary arms 3x18, 3x18 power on my 450 Bushmaster, which this is the third scope that's been on that gun, and it's never been zeroed. Like it's never had a shot fired out of it.
Yeah, I've done that. So yeah, I had a wonderful experience yesterday, having done the scope Jenga, because I was gonna sell one of my M4s. I was gonna sell an AR-15. I had a kind of like URGI M forgery clone-ish gun that was just sitting there, and at the time it didn't even have an optic on it anymore because I pilfered stuff and other things. So it was just kind of sitting there bare. So I'm like, I'll throw it up on, you know, my buddy's wall at his gun store here for a month, see if anybody bites at, you know, a good price. And nobody did. It's a summer. It happens. It's slow. It's slow season. And so I bring it home, and at this moment in time, I get struck by the lightning bolt. The gremlin does this thing in my brain, and I'm like, allow me to unzero a bunch of rifles, because I have a precision rifle course coming up. I'll be on day two of it when this episode airs. It's going to be hot and disgusting on this mountain, and I'm going to melt into a puddle of sweat and goo. But I'm going to have fun doing it. And so I got the wild idea of, okay, I've got this precision rifle course coming out. I'm going to learn how to, you know, poke things at distance. I don't have a good bolt gun for it right now. I've got a couple of ideas of what I want to do, and I just haven't been able to execute any of those ideas yet. So I'm going in and I'm like, I rebuilt an M16 a couple of years ago, and I floated the barrel. And I do have some Match 5.56 sitting around too.
Let's go.
You know what? Let's see. And so I end up putting a Leopold 3 Mark 5 3.6 to 18 on top of that, and seeing like, all right, what can this thing group? And I was able to get under a minute with the group.
You're like, all right,
that'll do. Let's go.
We're off to the races, boys.
Yep. So I'm going to be shooting fars away with an M16 A5-ish clone. And of course, that freed up the optic that was on the M16 A5, which was a more regular LPVO, you know, combat style scope. So that ended up on the 14.5, but I pulled an optic off, put it on a 12.5 that I have. So that has a TA-44 ACOG now, and is very light and capable, because that TA-44 is nice. That is a handy little...
Is that the one and a half
power?
That's
the one and a half that's got...
I have that on two guns. I love that thing so much.
It's got a listed eye relief of like 3.5 inches, but it's got like an actual real world eye relief of anywhere out to 14 inches. You can actually find a usable dot. It's an amazing little optic. And I think people, because their experience coalesces around the TA-31 and the TA-01, which have that
tiny
from back in the day, because it was designed in 89, guys, or 88 or something like that. And they didn't really change the housing since. They don't know that these longer iBox ACOGs exist, and they're really nice. So I've got that on a new gun. And so I went out, and I re-zeroed two Leopolds and an EOTech Voodoo 10X and that ACOG in wonderful 100-degree heat index and 100-yard confirmations on all the guns. And it was not fun. But it is the price of the ADD.
It is the price of the ADD. Oh, look. So I now have, I should get one of those. Wait a minute. No, I know what I should get. So I now have that Leupold. So I took I did a bunch of the optic swapping, and my ADD, the RS-22 that I have, that or the Rossi 22 mag I have that I zeroed the red dot on, I took that red dot off for a couple of reasons. But now it has the primary arms 5 power prism sight on it. So they're ACOG knockoff. which needs to be zero. Not knockoff isn't the right word. It's a nice little prism sight.
It's a really nice prism sight. And like a lot of things, prisms have come very, very far in these years.
And then I have the three power Leupold, the 3x15 Leupold in rings leveled. And I don't know,
waiting to go on something.
Yeah, hang on. Let's get a friggin' let's search for lever action rifles here, because I want to do something silly and put this on a lever gun. Although that's actually not silly. This would be a really good scope for like a 30-30. Oh, I have a 30-30 with the rail on it. No, Caleb, that gun is zeroed. It has an aim point on it. It's do fine. It. Don't do mess it. With it.
You're gremlin. No. You're gremlin. Listen to the gremlin. No.
This would actually be a really good scope for a 30-30, though. Like, take it and turn it from a, 100-yard gun into, like, a 200-yard gun, because you can see better, more shit. Remember, kids,
scopes help you see. They don't help you shoot. But, man, seeing do be nice. And Leupold with that glass that's so clear you can see the future is also really nice.
It really is. Let's go to RossiUSA.com. Let's see what could I get that's got a friggin' rail on it that we make. Oh, I know what I should get. I should get one of our new LWCs and put that on here. Ooh, but I want to wait for because right now we have the 350 Legend. I know what I should put this on. I should wait till the 6.5 LWC comes out and put it on that. Yes, you should,
because that will become a 1,000-yard gun.
That's comical and yet amazing.
That will become a 1,000-yard gun, and it will be glorious.
A 16.5-inch 6.5 Creedmoor that costs $300 at retail. This scope costs more than that gun.
Much more, I think, by factors, actually.
I love it. But no, like, so the Gremlin... Well,
my M16 is the same way, right? So, like, an M16 retail isn't that much, even if you are paying full sticker at FN, right? And then if you just build a good 20-inch with the proper barrel and everything like that, you're in just north of $1,000, even with the BCM rail that I put on it. The Leupold Mark V is much more than that. And oh God, is it worth it? Because just watching when the parallax is set and just watching like the holes appear in the target right next to each other, I'm like, ah, yes, this level of glass. This is fantastic.
Good glass is a...
Good glass is worth it. It is underrated and it is so worth it.
I know what I want. So I already have a 30-30, right? That's got a dot on it. But if I get the R95 stainless laminated and put this on there, yeah. Because I need multiple 30-30s. Because I already keep the caliber.
I've got like 27 5.56 rifles. So,
right.
Multiples is okay. It's all right. Yeah. I don't have a problem.
And you know what? Because this has got a long...
See anybody about it.
Here's what I should do. I should get this because it's got a longer rail on it. I should put the aim point on top of that so I can get a further forward mount. Put this on the other one because the rail actually extends back on the receiver. Yeah. See, this is the problem. You get these ideas.
And but then here's the question. Then you have to re-zero like 7 guns at a time because you're like,
I do not have the same problem with handgun optics. Either. Once I put a handgun optic on a gun, it basically just stays there unless I need to take it off to change the batteries or something like that. And I'm like, this is very rare.
And the worst I've ever done is like knowing ahead of time that like I'm getting like an acro in, the acro is going to go on something that has a dot, but that dot will already live somewhere else. Like it's very much one and done.
Yeah.
One swap, it's done.
Yeah, I very rarely will change pistol dots. I have a bunch of... How many unzeroed guns do I have right now? It's a lot. It's a fuckload.
Pistols, I've got none. Like, all my pistols stay zeroed. Until yesterday, I had many rifles not zeroed. Now I think I'm down to 3.
I don't even know how many unzeroed guns I have.
Two and a shotgun. My shotgun.
If you're the sort of person who gets stressed out by having unzeroed guns in your house, please come over to my house and help me zero all these fucking guns. There's a lot of them. And some of them are like 45 Colt single shotguns that we make, and I could take them to a 25 yard range and get them zeroed probably relatively quickly. But I haven't been, so previously guns would stay unzeroed because I wouldn't devote training time to zeroing them, right? Mm-hmm. I'm like, I have a limited amount of range days. Unless I'm going to go zero this for a thing, I'm not going to mess around with it. So
that's,
guns would stay
unzeroed going out because I needed to zero the 16
yeah.
and test it for this precision rifle class, because I had three other ARs that also needed a zero. And I've got another ARM4 class coming up not too far. I think a month after this precision rifle class. It's like, well, if I do these all now, then they're done. And I can probably will put like a 90% on that. Probably maintain the discipline enough to not mess with them in the hereafter, at least through the end of July.
August, yeah, at least
all bets are off.
August, all bets are off. Yep. Oh, man. Let me think about this. So I got lots of unzeroed guns. It doesn't affect me when it comes to pistols. And I think I do think part of it is I always, you know, if I go out to zero a gun and at the end of it, I'm not happy with how I shot, like if I feel like I could have dialed it tighter, my desire to change that gun's optic is going to be extremely strong, which is why I have no desire to change the optic on my R95. And, you know, I have no desire to change to take the Acro off my Expedition now, because I shot sub MOA group with the Acro and got first round hits at 300 yards with it. You know, in the R95, it shoots little teeny tiny groups at 50 yards. So once I'm like, you know, once I know that if I had to throw five rounds of Hornady 165 grain CX bullets into a magazine, and if I've got a shot within 200 yards, I'm going to make it with that gun now, right? Like, I know that that gun is a good 200 yard gun, which fulfills 90% of the use cases that I'm going to find it in. So I'm now happy with that. Now, if I did something like get a suppressor, I'd want to go re-zero it with the suppressor, obviously, which I should buy a suppressor. You should buy a suppressor. Everyone should buy suppressors.
Everyone should buy suppressors. Suppressors are nice. I recently learned that our friends over at B&T, Ruger Thommen, have a very nice A2 muzzle device adapter suppressors. And they do lightweight titanium ones. They have them in 5.56, 7.62. B&T is not sponsoring this episode, but I'm going to shout them out anyway. Because they have A2 adapters that actually work really well. So if you don't want to swap up muzzle devices, they have ones that'll do A2 muzzle devices as long as it's within tolerances. I found a couple as I was wandering around at the same gun store that I had my M4 sitting on the wall at. I was wandering around and I'm just like, that's neat. And so I put it on everything with an A2 or tried to put it on everything with an A2. I found a couple that are like A2 like. They're the right shape, but they're clearly not in spec. They were too thick. It wouldn't go on them. The muzzle device was too thick. But it's like that muzzle device built for like a grand total of $5 is designed to be replaced. And I was like, oh, that's cool. That should be my next can. And then I learned that B&T also uses a Surefire compatible amount. And I currently shoot Surefire rifle suppressors. And I'm like, all right, B&T it is. Good job, guys.
Take my money. Take my money. Thank you. I really want to get, like, I just, and for me, there's no reason that that I haven't bought a suppressor other than time. Like, yeah. and it's not the wait times or anything like that. It's like, I got to do that.
Going
I gotta, like,
and buying it.
Yeah. Like I literally going and buying it. I am extremely busy, guys. We are all very, very busy. But, guys, if you are listening to this and you suffer from the same affliction that, Keith and I do, let us know in the comments what's the most number of rifles that you've ever made from zeroed rifles into unzeroed rifles, because you had an itch in your brain and you needed to scratch it by changing around the equipment that you were using. And, you know, maybe next week, well, the week after that, we can talk about me reinventing the MBP R0 with my red dot, because I'm not, for the record. So, hey, we'll talk about this a little bit today. So What I'm part of what I'm doing, I posted about this on social media. So I ran the round that I'm running out of my expedition through an external ballistics calculator. And it told me that with a 50-yard zero, the round will have about 10 and a half inches of drop at 300 yards. 10 and a half inches is 3.5 MOA at 300 yards. And I'm like, I have a 3.5 MOA dot. So if I go and I zero my point of impact for directly behind the top of the dot, not in the middle of the dot, but if I zero my point of impact for directly behind the top of the dot, then in theory, at from 50 to 300 yards, the round should impact somewhere within that
Could be
dot.
touching that dot.
It will be touching the interior of that dot given relatively normalized ballistic conditions. So I went out and I did that and I shot it and it was true. Turns out math, math. This is not a new thing. This is not I didn't
No,
think this up because I'm
when
so smart.
Army's been trying to do this and not doing it well, not communicating the idea well with the comp,
It was comp
the
M4s.
CCO series, the comp M4, 3, and 2. They've been doing this for, 20 years, almost 20 years at this point. They've been trying to communicate it. It's communicated poorly. And so when I teach troops, when I'm set there to do initial rifle, teaching, I point all these extra things out. One, your dot is way more accurate. It's not more accurate. Your dot is way more precise than your iron sights are. Get over it, you old FUD. And two, here's how you best utilize the dot. Here's your offset for your distances. Here's what you want that dot to do. And you want the bullet to come up through the dot and then come back down through the dot. So that way your dot is touching your point of impact for the longest possible span of distance.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, this is not a new thing. I wasn't like sitting around in my office and like, I just had a great idea. What if I could zero my rifle so that at close range it's touching the tip of the dot, and at long range it's touching the bottom of the dot? That is not.
Hunters have been doing this for decades, since glass has been more mainstream on hunting rifles. Even with iron sights, if you get a good zero that touches, or you have a predictable zone and a predictable distance, then you can confidently take that shot.
I will say this, this would be a difficult trick if I had astigmatism in my right eye, because when I'm zeroing the dot, if I am, very conscientious of the brightness setting, I can get an actual dot, right? If this turns into a streak for you, this becomes somewhat more
It be
difficult
it
to pull
becomes
off.
harder. I have astigmatism in both eyes, and I have to play with this quite a bit. I will give shout outs to Holosun and Sig for choosing emitters that my eye likes. I know they didn't pick them for me, but
But
I
it was
appreciate
nice.
the fact that their LED emitters seem to work much better with my astigmatism than aim points. Aim points are by far the worst. While they make a very durable and an excellent quality sight, and I own several of them, it's just
The
that's what I
worst
get out of those dots. It's very shiny.
Blooming dot I ever had was an aim point, but it was a duty comp M4. So I assume that at some point it had been run over by a Humvee.
At least one.
At least one. But I will say this, even with the bloom, I can still shoot it pretty freaking
Oh
good.
yeah, they'll
So
still zero. Those optics are durable as hell. I do want a comp M4 just to have that.
right.
That's another thing. I see things that like, I want one of those because I don't have it. And that
Oh,
also
I've
contributes to the optic ADD, because it's good. Because you and I both teach, you and I both instruct, and we get asked all kinds of wild things. And because of how
Ask for the
variants
wild
of
things.
rifles go, I get everything under the sun. And I much prefer to have as firsthand an answer as I can. If I can't have it firsthand, I'll get it quality secondhand information. I'll ask somebody who knows and who has the optic and who has enough rounds under the optic and the experience to quantify that answer as much as possible. So if I don't have hands-on a thing, or haven't had hands-on a thing, from ACOGs to LCANs to aim points, EOTechs, if I haven't played with the thing, I want to play with the thing. And usually, because merchandising is a thing and marketing is a thing, and
Merchandising.
merchandising, Having a very fun merchandising thread about Hoktua girl.
Can we just say if you don't know who Hoktui girl is, go on TikTok. All right. It's
everywhere right now. Find the Hoktua and enjoy. This is really one of those internet things that are funny and you should laugh at.
It really made me miss Jack because he is first person that I thought because I saw the original video before it went super viral because my feed is really messed up. And the first person I thought of sending that to was Jack because he would have loved
her.
Let's be real. Mm-hmm. He would have found her is what would have happened. He would have found her and probably tried to marry her.
They may in fact be dating if that were an option from beyond in the next realm.
100%. Well, all right, guys, that's the best way to wrap up this episode that I can think of. We will not be back next week because I will be hunting in Africa. So we are going to have, and it's really difficult to coordinate recording schedules when I'm plus 7 hours. But we will not be back next week, but we will be back the week after that. And we will talk to you guys later. Thank you everyone for liking, sharing, subscribing. Make sure to share this with your friends, follow, blah, 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 blah.